This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Liam Makelam, KCBS foodie champ at Theorita on Divisadero in San Francisco. Not one chef, but two. Chef Angela Pinkerton, Chef David Nafel. Good to see you. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you very much for asking.
Good to see you, Angela.
Great to see you again.
Yeah, I still have a full happy tummy from my meal here at Theorita on Divisadero just last week. How would you describe Theorita? You got Kay Fico upstairs, so is this the little tasty sister? That sounded wrong, didn't it? That sounded terrible, didn't it? Who is Theorita?
If it wasn't named after my grandmother, I'd be okay with that. But
sorry, Grandma.
She's still around. She actually
is. I know.
She came to the opening.
Yeah. Yeah, it was amazing.
So tell us about Theorita. Who is Theorita?
Theorita is my maternal grandmother. She's an amazing woman who's taken care of everyone else her entire life, and I thought she deserved a little appreciation and to be in the spotlight.
So she's the matriarch.
The matriarch of my childhood, and she, I grew up watching her make pies.
Yeah.
Just because she lived on an orchard, it's not like she says she didn't like to bake, but I think she secretly did.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of feel like that was my inspiration as a kid.
Yeah.
To fall in love with pastry.
Well, I love that as you walk in here, you are greeted by this beautiful black and white picture. Takes you back in time, but it's so befitting of this restaurant. And it's your grandma with Grandma Jack on a motorbike.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up looking at that photo, just thinking it was the coolest photo, and I wanted to have it in my house when I grew up, and I was hoping to get a copy of it. Little did I know that it would be hanging in our restaurant 20-some years later. So,
listen, let's talk about your journey together, Chef David, Chef Angela. You met in New York City, 11 Madison Park. Tell me about those days working together.
Oh, so Angela loves when I tell a story. So I came into 11 Madison Park as being a new hire sous chef, which was very unique for that restaurant. They had never hired a sous chef. All of the sous chefs had been, you know, quote unquote, like farm raised. They all came from being cooks and then got. So I came in totally unaware of what the culture was and where my place was.
Sure.
And
how was that for you?
Eye-opening. So, needless to say, Angela was much higher on the pecking order than I was at that time, and she definitely let me know where I stood. There was a couple of times. She likes to say she was joking, but...
Really, Angela?
Take
me back there.
I really was joking.
So the new hire...
He didn't think it was very funny, though.
Yeah. The new cook on the line. Who was this kid who
That's
showed
what
up?
He said. Yeah. Who is this guy?
This whippersnapper.
With a goatee and a diamond earring, and we're like, what?
Did you say goatee? Where's the goatee? Where's the diamond earring?
That was a very different time. I've disposed of all those photos.
I have one right here.
So I came into my stage with goatee and earrings, and by the time I started on my first day, the goatee and earrings were gone, never to be seen or heard from again.
Yeah.
And Angela and I. I was learning where I fit in a kitchen for probably about the first 6 months or so. And then, you know, Angela was in charge of her pastry kitchen at that point, and she had already put in her couple of years by the time I'd been there. So about 6 months later, she and I were tasked with doing a dinner at the James Beard House together. And essentially had to be in the kitchen by ourselves alone for about 8 hours. And I got her finally to crack and talk to me. And we...
Wait, you talked to him?
I had to.
Too quiet.
So, you know, by the end of the day, honestly, we were fast friends. We kind of developed this, like, brotherly, sisterly relationship where we, you know, ended up looking after each other and spending, you know, a great deal of time together. And the plan was never to work together. It was just, you know, just to be friends. And when, you know, I had moved back to California, where I'm born and raised in.
Alameda boy?
Yeah, Bay Area, born and raised. You know, super proud to be back. You know, my mom opened her office over on Fillmore and O'Farrell 30 years ago. She's been in this neighborhood. My mom can walk here from her office and from her apartment.
And she's still down the block?
She's still down the block. She's a chiropractor at the Fillmore Health Center.
Perfect timing. I've got a wicked kink right here.
Yeah, best chiropractor in San Francisco, hands down, so you should go check her out. But she's only six blocks from here, so she's like the staff mother at this point. So at that point, you know, Angela had moved to the Bay Area as well, and, you know, we would always kind of hang out and visit together, and she was working at Craftsman and Wolves at that time when we looked to start putting the restaurant together. And, you know, once our business partner Matt tasted her pastries, I think it was over by then, because both of us were like, how do we figure out how to do business with Angela as well? So,
and for you, Angela, a partnership with Chef David, did you ever imagine, if you wind the clock back a little bit, all those years ago, and here you are now?
Yeah, I mean, I think, I'm sure we'd have never have thought that was ever going to happen, but we've been friends for a long time. We've continued to be very close friends after David left, and I left Aloha Madison Park, and I think timing was just perfect. I think we were both looking to do something of our own. We realized each other's extremely talented, and we get along well, and that's really two of the most important things.
Done deal.
Simple.
We'll get up to speed and talk about Theorita. Kay Fico, I have to mention, the week you opened was the last time I saw you guys together at a fundraiser. And didn't someone also have a kid that week?
Yeah, our business partner Matt had a baby that week. We opened two restaurants this year, and I'm having a child in January.
Oh, my word. So, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Do you know who the mother is?
Yes. I know very much who she is. There's only one lovely lady named Samia in San Francisco, and
he's got a little shade of pink. Look at that. He's blushing a little bit.
Oh my God, when she hears this.
Yeah.
I just want everybody to know I'm not having any children. I'm just having a chicken. Yeah. A winner chicken.
We're gonna get to that chicken. I want to say congratulations to you both, because you open a restaurant in San Francisco just to get the doors open. That deserves congratulations. But with it came critical praise, reservations, you know, the hottest in the city, if not in the country. I mean, that's got to feel pretty good. Talk me through your feelings of what you hoped it would be and now knowing what it's become. Kay Fico first.
So, Kay Fico, what I hoped it would be was a popular neighborhood restaurant. I wanted to be busy because, you know, my journey to becoming a restaurant owner and a chef has been an interesting one. I worked in three Michelin star restaurants for my whole career, and the day that I came to terms with the idea that I was happier cooking casual food than I was cooking fine dining food was that a
light bulb moment, or did you just knew that that's where you were most happy, most comfortable, or what you wanted to do when you opened a restaurant?
No, it was definitely something I fought with, because I felt like, you know, it's, you know, the idea of working in the best restaurants in the world, and then there's almost a pride, ego thing involved there, to where you're like, okay, well, am I happiest opening a casual neighborhood restaurant that serves pasta and pizza and roast chicken dinners, right? Yeah. And there was a process there. It wasn't just like one day. It was, I think, a couple of years. And I think it started when I stopped enjoying going out to tasting menu dinners. And I actually was comfortable saying to myself, like, I'm not enjoying this dinner that much. I wish it was over an hour and a half ago.
And you look at perhaps where you would go on your nights off. Probably not for a fine dining dinner, right? Probably just a simple, easy hole in the wall, right?
Yeah, I mean, most of the time I would go to a place when we were in New York. They just did wood-fired pizzas, simple pastas, simple wood-fired meats. They were really into the products, the local products. The service team was very knowledgeable. They had great wine, super friendly.
So, Kay Fico, upstairs. And by the way, it is Kay Fico. I'm sure even I've made the mistake of saying Shea Fico, like Shea Guevara, or whoever. See, I got that wrong, too. It's Kay, right?
Correct. It is Kay Fico, meaning literally translated to what a fig. And I know that doesn't make any sense, but the slang translation, when you're in Italy, if somebody says, oh, che fico, it means, oh, that's so cool. It's so awesome. It's like a term of endearment.
What do Italians think, visiting Italians who've come? Have you had many?
Yeah, we've had a few. You know, it depends on what they order, right? So the universal thing is like, oh, you put pineapple on pizza, I'm never going to order that. But if you can somehow sneakily get them to try it, most all of the Italians that I've met have been, reluctantly said, this is really delicious. Because how could you not? At the end of the day, it's really delicious ingredients. But it is not in any way a traditional pizza, and I don't claim that it is. Nothing about our pizza is traditional. But on the other hand, if they have our pappardelle ragu, or if they have something that is a little bit more of a classical rendition, a straightforward rendition of something that we do, for the most part, all of them are just, you know, they're very surprised at the level of care that we put into it and how traditional we go with the process, with the ingredients, with the minimalization of the dish.
Sure. Angela, for you, pastry, pies, that's your bailiwick, but doing it for yourself, you know, within these walls, how has this shifted and changed things for you as a chef? Or is it bringing your arsenal and your bag of tools that you had and just reinterpreting for two different spaces right here, two different concepts?
I don't think it's reinterpreting. I think it's really getting back to the food itself. Working in fine dining. I never really aspired to work in fine dining. It just kind of happened. I think David and I had very different paths when it comes to food.
Yeah.
What I liked about working in fine dining was the creativity and the control, sure, or the allowance of creativity that you have.
Yeah.
And now that we own two restaurants, we have that allowance again, just on a different level.
If folks come here just for the pies, what are the must-haves you must order?
Must order pie. In my opinion, the classic apple. You must get it warm with a la mode. We make our own ice creams as well in-house.
Yeah. Yeah. David, do you have a favorite pie?
Yeah, I have a lot of them.
He's in great shape for a guy who eats a lot of pies. Look at this guy.
Yeah, so Angela's pies are stunning in a lot of different ways. Texturally, they're beautiful, and, you know, they balance. They're constantly balanced. You know, they're not overly sweet. The way she plays with salt and other flavors, whether it be booze or acidity, are always really enjoyable for me. So the different ones that I – right now, I mean, 'tis the season. I'm a pumpkin pie guy, and the pumpkin pies that they're making here at the Arita are the best I've ever had.
I'll take two, please. Thank you.
Exactly right. And then there's a passion fruit pie, a little like sweetie pie that's on the menu, which is like acidic and bright and like kind of makes, you know, that sound that your mouth does like when it pops from the like tanginess. And it's just one of the most delicious things. But I agree with Angela. There are some of the classics here, whether it's like a berry pie with a crumble on top or whether it's the apple. And if you're going to do it right. Get it warm, get it warmed up, and get it a la mode with the ice cream that we make here. And it is just, it's special.
You don't have to tell me twice. Here's what I love about coming here. We're sitting in the diner, the dinette, and we were watching your pastry team work their magic, a little bit of theater unfolding before us.
Yeah, I mean, that's the great part about growing up when I was a kid and going to bakeries. Like, you know, the pastry team and the pastry and the pies are kind of the backbone of this restaurant, and I didn't want them to be hidden in the back.
Yeah.
It's great entertainment watching. We're starting to get ready for Thanksgiving right now.
Yeah,
so
well, it's always fun watching other people work, isn't it? As we wrap up here, Chef David, we were in the kitchen together. I watched you cooked winner-winner chicken dinner.
Yeah. You know, this is our classic rendition of a roast chicken dinner, but done in this kind of Bay Area way, which, you know, it's seasonal and utilizing local ingredients, very minimalistic, but it's as classic as you can get. It's a roast chicken with a mash and a salad, you know?
Well, listen, it would be naughty to sit here and not have a little taste. Come on, I'm not going to sit and eat alone. Let's dive in. And David, we were talking, you know, earlier about just the key thing, you know, folks listening, Thanksgiving is just around the corner. What are your cooking tips for Thanksgiving? I'm going to ask you the same question, Angela. What advice would you give to folks at home? Three important things as they prepare for their Thanksgiving meal.
So three tips that I would say is, number one, make a plan and write it down. It's always a lot easier if you make a plan and write it down as to what you're going to do. The second tip that I would say is, remember, you don't have to do things all in one day. You know, try and make life a little bit easier on yourself and break it down. And number three, and the most important tip I could say, is order a pie from Theorita for Thanksgiving.
Boom. Look at that. What about you, Angela? Yeah, that is good, right?
He is good.
He's got business head.
Yes.
I'm going to ask you to do the honors and cut three little pieces of chicken there for us so we can each have a taste. What are your tips for having the perfect Thanksgiving, Angela? What would you say?
The perfect Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
I would say don't stress out too much and make sure to have a good time, because that's what's the most important with people you love.
That's it, right?
I know. Wow. You thought I was going to talk about cooking.
No. It's about hanging out with people you love. Listen, to eat here at Theorita is to enjoy seriously good food, cooked from the heart, with soul, and a massive dollop of love. That said, I'm going in. It's on the menu as winner, winner, chicken dinner. I'm going to have a little bit of squash with it.
It's my favorite part.
Here we go.
With the chicken jus.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
Let's get a little bit of that jus.
A little bit of gravy, yeah.
Chef, as I take a bite here, tell the folks at home about your jus.
Well, it is made from the leftover bones from our chickens that we roast and, you know, slowly cook down a jus. And we finish our roast chicken with it and put it in the well of our roasted pumpkin squash mash. And it just accentuates the roast chicken flavor. Not too bad. Huh?
Died and just went to heaven. Last couple of things, Chef. If we're going to enjoy a good wine with this, what would you recommend?
So we have a really, really delicious small wine collection here. All of the stuff is really priced affordably, but our wine director, Francesca Maniace, curates the whole thing. So I highly suggest getting some wine here. What we have pairing with this roast chicken is the wabi-sabi populous blended white wine from Mendocino County, and that's a blend of Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay, and French Colombard, and I think it's a perfect mix with this pairing for this roast chicken.
Well, let's see how it tastes, shall we? Cheers. Here we go. A little taste of this stuff down in one. Now, that is a gift from the gods, if ever there was. Thank you for the wine. Thank you for the conversation. I cannot leave you without mentioning probably the most important thing that's happened to you both. Not one, but two saucy nominations. That's big. He says tongue-in-cheek, I'm hosting the saucies, but I'm thrilled that you guys are up for a couple of awards. Got to feel good, right?
It feels great, and to be in such great company with the other nominees. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, come on, the saucies. I mean, above all others, this is the one, right?
Well, I know you say it in jest, but I think it's cool in the sense that, you know, the Bay Area is starting to be considered the, you know, the dining, you know, center of the United States. We have more 3 Michelin star restaurants here than anywhere else. Yeah. And as Angela said, to be mentioned in the same class as everybody else is really special, because we know how competitive this market is, and we don't necessarily look at it as a competition. We look at it as an amazing community of people to pull from. But like she said, to be at the same place at the same time, even if it's fun, to be honest with you, it doesn't matter if you win or not. It's a great community to be in.
Well, we're spoiled to have such a great community of chefs. You guys are always on the front lines when people need you to show up for a charity dinner or a cause. Thank you for that. And good things happen to good people, but great things happen to really good people. So I'm happy for you both, guys. Two great restaurants, Que Fico, Theorita, on Divisadero in San Francisco. To you both, happy Thanksgiving, because this will be airing right before Thanksgiving. And have fun at the table. Make sure he doesn't burn the turkey.
David never burns the turkey. Yeah.
More on Chef David's story and Chef Angela's story at kcbsradio.com, and click on Foodie Chap.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.